That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Shop Amazon for last-minute gifts. Great deals for everyone on your list. Gifts for mom and gifts for dad. Even for your sister and your brother, Chad. Ah, shoot, we didn't realize we were supposed to get a gift for our dog walker guy. We almost forgot about our dentist, Dr. Kerr. We didn't expect to get a gift from her. Or our cousin, I forget his name. He got us something nice, better reciprocate. For last-minute deals on gifts for people you forgot, get fast and free shipping at Amazon.
Black Busters.
What's cracking, family? Your boy is back, man, with another one. It's your boy Big Ja, and this is Black Busters, the best movie review podcast in the world. In the world, Craig.
In the world, Craig.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, man. I got another, another week of the same guest host.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? Brother Tone, get well soon, man. You're down for the count, but you won't always be. I can't wait till you get back, bro. But in the meantime, we got
Ken Tone.
Ken, yes, Tone, sir. In the building.
Hey, man, we back in it. This one's gonna be fun, bro. All of them are fun. But this one is gonna be something that I really want to get your take on this next film, homie.
It's one of them ones, man. It's one of them ones.
And I don't know if it gets talked about as much as it should, but on the rewatch, I was like, damn.
It's a surprise film.
Yeah. Because there's so much, is it controversial topics when it comes to this brother here? We'll get into it. Let me just tell y'all what the movie is.
Okay.
All right. Movie is Hustle and Flow.
Hustle and Flow.
Whoop that trick, man. Whoop that trick,
man.
Yeah, man.
Man.
Hey, Hustle and Flow is the movie of the hour, man.
Yes.
And it's starring, you know, Terrence Howard.
Mr. Tremble voice itself,
man. Mr. Tremble voice itself, man. Hey.
I'm just trying to say, man.
I'm just trying to say.
They made a movie just for him to say Maine in every line.
A thousand times. I ain't never heard Maine so many times, man.
You know what I'm saying, man?
Check this out, man. Hey.
When I'm talking about Maine, I'm talking about Maine.
You're talking about Maine. Not Maine, but
Maine. Not Maine, but Maine.
Hey, Maine.
Like Mankind.
Hey, Maine. I feel what you mean, man. Like Mankind.
He said that's the first thing he says in the film.
Hey, Mankind.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Written and directed by Craig Brewer. You did your thing with this one, man.
Yes, you did.
Did your shit, bro. Yes, starring Terrence Howard, Ludacris, Anthony mm-hmm. Anderson,
mm-hmm.
Taraji P. Newton,
mm-hmm.
Sarah, what's baby girl name?
Taraji P. Henson.
I said Newton, what the hell?
Yeah.
Good Lord. It's been one of them days. I'm tired. I got my little coffee right here tucked away.
Yeah.
It's gracious.
It's said Newton. That's a cold name, though.
Hey, no, it ain't. If it ain't hers.
Roger P. Newton.
Tandy Newton. Bless your heart. That I got to mix up Tandy
love her.
Newton.
Yeah, love Tandy. Her. Love Tandy.
Taraji P. Henson. Excuse me, Miss Henson. I apologize. Good Lord. I'm sleepy as hell.
Yeah.
And we about to get into it, man. Taraji P. Henson plays Shug. Mm-hmm. And she ruined that. When I say ruined, I'm talking about in the greatest way.
Murdered it.
She, my gosh, bro. Yeah. It's almost like... You take, like, remember her from, her name is Yvette. Remember Yvette from Baby Boy?
Mm-hmm.
And this chick, Shug, two different types of women.
Like, two different types of hood women.
Hood women. Like,
yeah.
Goodness, but she could have, and the thing is, she could have played baby girl Paula J. Parker.
Yeah.
Killed that.
Killed it.
Yeah. Well, play Alexis. They could have reversed. They both dope.
Yeah.
Man, it's so much stuff I can say about this film, bro.
Uh-huh.
Terrence Howard plays DJ.
Uh-huh.
He's a Memphis, Tennessee pimp.
Mm-hmm.
Hood pimp. You know what I'm saying? Struggling pimp.
Struggling.
You know what I'm saying? He's not
with three hoes.
With three hoes.
Three of them.
He got three hoes.
One of them pregnant.
One of them pregnant, and she at the crib. She don't leave the house.
One of them white ain't got nobody.
Nobody at all. But in Tennessee, being Memphis, in Tennessee in the hood, being a white girl, a white hoe.
That'll get you somewhere.
Oh, that'll get you somewhere. You winning.
Don't have no braids.
No, and she had braids. She had white braids. She had white extensions. She had blonde extensions. Yes. Damn. Yes. Terry Manning.
Shout out to the hood rats out there. Amen.
Shout out to the hood rats. Y'all are so important to the hood.
Hood rats, prostitutes, hoes.
Hood rat, prostitutes, hoes, yeah. Thoughts, all that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Flips, everything. you know what I'm saying? Okay, man, let's get to it. Tennessee is where this movie takes place. Mm-hmm. We don't know the year, but it's probably current at the time.
It's
at
that point, 2000-something.
It was 2000-something. Yeah. This movie was made in 2005. It came out in 2005, and I think that it was a current time. This is when this is the snap music.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Franchise Boys era.
Yes.
Crunk was really cracking. Mm-hmm. Lil Jon, the East Side Boys. Was it 3 6 Mafia was cracking.
3 6 Mafia wrote the music.
They wrote the music and got a Grammy off of it. You know what I'm saying?
They grabbed
Grammy was a Grammy or Academy Award when it comes to music
or an Oscar.
Oscar, like Academy Award. One or two. They got, I think they might have did both. They might have. They were very successful.
I want to say it's an Oscar.
This won one Oscar and 25 wins and 47 nominations total.
Whew.
Yeah, this movie did work.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it deserved it. Mm-hmm. Now, I could tell this movie, as I'm watching this movie, I promise you, I'm watching it like some people ain't going to like this film.
Yeah.
You know why? What you think I'm going to say? And you don't even have to have the answer.
It's because of the music.
The music, I was going to say yes.
Yeah.
But you're talking about his music?
It could be because
it was just so raw, man.
It was, I think it depicted how certain places are slower than other places.
Super slow. This is Tennessee.
Like when you talked about the time, I was thinking like, can the time be current or can it be back in the day? What's the difference? And when you go to country ass places like that, there ain't no difference.
Ain't no difference, bro.
They just live how they live.
2006.
They be kicking it.
Yeah, and things that us being from California, I will keep it 100. Like we don't live that way. We didn't live that way.
But there are places in California that are like that.
True. Oh, yeah.
Bakersfield, wow. California is like that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Barstow.
Definitely like that.
Victorville.
It's the same. Absolutely. You go out there, you be like, okay, what's wrong?
Are we in the rural South, nigga?
Yeah.
Burntdale,
like, messed up shopping malls and everything. You be sitting like, okay, this is different.
Yeah, Terrence Howard played a dude named DJ. Mm-hmm. He's his profession is pimp. He's a Tennessee pimp. He got three hoes. He lives in a raggedy ass house. And on the same block as a lot of other raggedy ass houses.
Yeah.
Ain't no fences. It's just like you walk out the house, you go walk across the grass to somebody else's house.
Your grass is their grass.
Exactly. And and he's pimping his main dollar, his bottom chick would be Suge. You would think it's Lexus because she's the oldest.
Yeah.
And probably been with him the longest.
Yeah.
But their relationship is different too, and you see it. That last scene with them, bro, was dope to me. Man, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
So Terrence Howard he just lives in Tennessee with his three hoes. Mm-hmm. One is pregnant, so she don't come out. She's not tricking. I mean, she's not out there doing no work.
Mm-hmm.
She's just pregnant. I'm about to have this baby. But he got his main chick is Enola. Mm-hmm. Played by Taryn Manning, white girl.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? She's the only white girl in the hood, damn near. And she belongs to him. And he's pimping her. She's basically his biggest moneymaker.
Yes.
The other one is Lexus, played by Paula J. Parker. Mm-hmm. She's a stripper / hoe.
Yep.
So she gets her Johns from the strip club.
Yeah, she's doing work.
And she's doing work.
She's winning for him right now. She's the money chick.
You think Paula was?
She was. That's why it was so hard for her to leave. When it was kicking her out, she was like going off on him.
Call him crazy.
She's like, I'm the one that paid for all this.
You just my chauffeur, nigga.
Yeah.
You my chauffeur.
Get your ass out.
When I say that, she might have been making, but nobody was really making no real bread because he was broke.
Right.
He wasn't a glorified pimp.
Right.
He looked like only thing. This is what I think. I think Terrence Howard, DJ, his character is a nigga with no skill. And at that point, he a hood dude, got a couple tricks around him. I'm about to start pimping these hoes so I can do this. He wasn't very good at it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And to his his testament, it was good. He was a real person. He wasn't a pimp. And that's why I think that he wasn't. And when I say
that's he had what those people skills, miss about the movie.
And that's it, bro.
You can't be a pimp with a heart.
You can't, yeah.
So, and he teeters between having a heart and being a pimp the entire movie.
Yeah.
He's just on that line.
On that line.
Like, okay, I got a heart. Damn, I'm a pimp.
I'm pimping these hoes.
I gotta say certain things to them to make them do what they need to do.
Right.
So I can get what I need.
And you can see them at different times in the movie, they didn't really respect his pimping.
They didn't.
And that's a testament to how good of a pimp he wasn't.
But that's also a testament to how good of a guy he was because they respected him.
Right.
And they liked him.
They liked him.
Yeah.
Yeah. They liked him. Yeah.
That part,
And I saw that. I like that. I saw that all through the film that this pimp isn't a good pimp, but he's a good dude in relative to his circumstances.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. What part showed you that the most, though? That he was a good guy.
I love the scene in the church when he finally ran into Key, mm-hmm. Anthony Anderson's character, mm-hmm. Key, and he said, "What you do?" And he took him to the church and he showed that he was recording as opera singer.
Yeah.
And he was just sitting there. And that's the only time in the movie where he looked at peace, bro.
Mm.
And when he dropped that tear.
Yeah.
It's almost like that was like, you go to church. Yeah, I don't know about you. I grew up in the church, but mm-hmm. there's times where I didn't go to church.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been in church in a long time, right? Mm-hmm. I ain't been in church until Easter come.
Yeah.
And then you went in church and you be like, damn, that's a good ass service.
Yeah.
It's a good sermon to make you feel good.
There's always moments.
Church make you feel good, bro. But when you got to go every Sunday as a kid, you be dreading. You're like, I don't want to get up. I want to watch cartoons.
If it's a bad pastor.
Yeah. Like, bad pastor. Yeah. See, but as a kid, all the pastors to me were bad because I was bored. I don't want to listen to this.
My pastor was cold.
Man. For as a young dude?
Yeah.
See, I didn't look at church like that.
He used to say things, and I would see what he was saying. Mm. Like, literally.
I'm not saying the pastors be good. Pastor Cannon was dope. Yeah. Pastor Carter was dope. These are all my pastors growing up.
Yeah.
But I wanted to be somewhere else.
Me too.
So I was uninterested in it. And as I got older, and I would go to church with my mom, mm-hmm. and I'd be like, damn, this is dope. He cooking up there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think that was his good person trying to come out of that pimp.
Yeah.
That tear. And he just sat there. And the tear came and he just sat there and watched it. He didn't even move it.
Yeah.
He was in
pocket. And then he wiped it off.
He wiped it at the end. He almost like, oh shit, let me catch myself.
Yeah. But like, and it was on the side where nobody could see.
Right.
So he was trying to act like he was still tough.
He was still chilling. He was still chilling.
Like he's still pimping. Nah, nigga, you're soft.
Right.
You're soft in this moment. Go ahead. Let them go. You need to let them. Listen, out there in them streets, okay? If you're pimping, if you just working hard, if you pushing to get whatever you're trying to get, sometimes you need to cry. Sometimes you need to just let them things go.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
What I
would do if I was you, I would take a little trip somewhere where there's some water. Mm-hmm. So that way it'd make you feel better. You can listen to the water and cry at the same time. That way you won't feel like, oh, I'm out here acting like a little bitch. No, you doing exactly what the earth is doing, which is perspiring, actually water, but it's coming out your eyes.
You're rinsing your feelings.
That's all you're doing.
Just a little feelings, rinse your soul.
A little rinse off.
Yeah, a little rinse off.
And then you like dab it out and put it back in your pocket and you go home.
And you go home, man. Go on about your day. And you do this. Lean back. Let the residual tears that didn't come out yet just fall back in there for next time. Yeah. For next time. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you see niggas do this? I'm good, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm good, man.
He ain't good.
He ain't good, man.
He ain't good.
Yeah. So he needed that, man. And he didn't even know. Keys took him over to the church. He needed that.
Yeah.
And it got him thinking. See, DJ is a dude, like a lot of dudes in the hood, who feel like they stuck. Mm-hmm. They feel like there's no way out.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that all through the movie. This dude was miserable. He wanted to do something else, but he didn't know how to do nothing else. He had no confidence. He lacked confidence. He only had confidence when it was to pimping these hoes.
Yeah.
And you can see that. Excuse me. He didn't know what he was doing with his life.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. So, he's trying to the opening scene is when he's just spitting game to Nola.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, talking that talk. You know what I'm saying? Them isms.
When I say man, I don't mean man. Like, Maine or Womaine. I mean Maine like mankind. You understand what I'm saying?
Mankind.
Yeah.
Man, another person in this film was Elise Neal, man, Yvette, who played Anthony Anderson's character, Keys.
Beautiful.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
She every film, she's never, I never see her in too many leads. I mean, mm-hmm. I think her biggest role might have been the Hoolies when she played the wife.
Mm-hmm.
And she killed that as well. But, like, she's always like.
The Hoolies. Oh, my gosh.
Huh?
I loved her in that.
Yeah, she was savage.
Yes.
But she always plays somebody's wife in these films. And she murders it. Her Money character talks. Was so great. It, Money Talks, yeah. Yeah. Ooh-wee. Shout out to Elise Neal, man. She did a great job. All the women in this film were dope.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very, the cast was great.
Mm-hmm.
Isaac Hayes was in this bitch as Arnell.
Yes.
He owned a little juke.
Hey, Skinny.
Hey, Skinny.
Skinny, how you
yeah,
doing?
Yeah, Arnell. Isaac Hayes is a ball of talent because every movie I've seen him in as an actor, he'd be murdering.
Yeah.
He kills it. And he's Isaac Hayes. He's yeah. Mr. Isaac Hayes.
Yeah.
You
know, Skinny Black gonna be down here.
Yeah. When? 4th of July. 4th of July, gonna be down here.
Yep. Get your stuff ready.
Man, DJ Qualls, who plays Shelby, mm-hmm. who was it's your dog from Road Trip.
Yeah.
He did his thing in there. We're like an ass dude. Yeah. He did a good job.
Yeah.
It was just a great. New guy, too.
You gotta say New Guy. That was his main movie.
The new,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
With him and Eddie Griffin.
Uh huh.
Eddie Griffin taught him how to be tough.
Hilarious.
Gave him that look. Well, go ahead.
Anthony Anderson, cute. He played a dope dude. They knew mm-hmm. each other from back in the day from high school. Mm-hmm. And this is why I love the movie. I love this film because it had a lot of heart,
man.
He played a pimp, and you think about it on paper, you think, why do I want to watch this movie?
Mm-hmm.
For like the real very political people, politically correct people, yeah. They're gonna be like a movie about a pimp trying to be a rapper, and how he navigates through life with his hoes, and like people are like, I don't want to watch this shit.
Yeah,
I would because that's what I'm interested in. Because
I wouldn't say it was like that. I would say this movie's about somebody that's trying to get out of his circumstance. Trying to use his talent to do it.
With help from his friends, they ain't got no friends.
Yeah.
With help from his friends, a Memphis pimp is in the midlife crisis, attempts to become a successful hip-hop MC.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I'm interested. I'm in.
Yeah.
But I can see some people be like, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, a movie about a pimp? I'm cool.
Yeah.
But the hood's going to love that. And they did.
Yeah.
And you watch the movie and watch how raw he was with the chicks, with the hoes. Mm-hmm. It's like, damn, why are we watching another depiction of a black man pimping hoes? We don't want to see this shit. But it's not that.
It's not.
I see your face. This movie is bigger than that. It's literally about a black man in the neighborhood, in his neighborhood, growing up with the conditions that he grew up in, like most of us can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
And him not being able to get out that bitch.
Mm.
Him not being able to navigate out of his own poverty, his own impoverished situation,
mm-hmm.
and him feeling trapped and pimping is the only thing he know how to do.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So with that being said, you see him go through like the turmoil of like, I want something better for myself. I just don't know what it is. I just feel like I'm supposed to be here to do something different.
Yeah.
And him feeling stuck. He don't know what nothing else to do but pimp.
Yeah.
So he was in the rut. Nola, the white girl's in the rut,
mm-hmm.
and he got the timid-ass Shug,
mm-hmm.
who's pregnant and timid. She don't speak up for herself,
mm.
and she just a little pregnant hoe.
Yeah.
And then you got Lexus, who's like the bitter chick who wants more, but she probably used to be like Shug.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? She probably just like, and you see it in their interaction. Her interaction with him was like, you whack-ass nigga. All right, man. It was more like brother and sister.
Right.
Shug was more like, And he said this. He said, remember, he said, I love you, talking to Nola.
Yeah.
I know I just jumped, but like he said, I love you, not like a man loves a woman, but like a brother. Hilarious, bro. But then again, that was the situation.
Right.
He was like a big brother to Nola.
Yeah.
He was a big brother to Shug. He was a twin brother or a little brother mm-hmm. or just a brother to Lexus.
I feel like he was more of a lover to Shug.
Not at first. Well, because of how she dealt with him. Because how she looked at him.
Yeah.
She was in love with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't want to be in love with her. But he treated her Oh, okay. So out of the three women,
he just didn't want to be in love with the situation.
And they
represented the situation for him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, no, I'm in this situation because of y'all. Well, no, you really in the situation for yourself.
Yeah.
So even when he's arguing with them, he's really arguing with himself. Remember when he told Nola, he said, I hate you. I fucking hate you.
That was a scene, my nigga.
And she was like, don't make me ever do something like that. He was like, you think I want to do this? And then she flipped it on him. She was like, I don't even listen to that shit because I need you to mess with my head sometimes.
I let you. But this time,
don't do that shit.
Just
right
don't.
Now.
I don't need that right now.
Deep.
Yeah. That
deep stuff.
The writing is crazy. The performances is crazy. Mm. Him playing the pimp, and you can see the vulnerability in mm-hmm. this man, and he wanted to be a good dude. Even when he pull up for everything, when he pulls up to Arnell's, and the dude is running from Arnell,
mm-hmm.
and is like trying to get out the juke joint, and he's beat dude up and kick him out.
Yeah.
You good, Arnell? He got a heart, man.
He's
here to help.
Yeah,
he really is a weed man. He a pimp slash weed man
and a weed man,
and he went in the back and handled his business with Arnell, with Isaac Hayes' character.
Mm-hmm.
He just chilling. He not cheating nobody.
Yeah.
He pimping these hoes because that's what, if I don't do them, somebody else going
to
do it. So.
And he got a story to tell.
And you hear his music. You hear his music, man. And he still is, you see a battered soul, bro.
Yeah.
And that's not, see, this movie is not about a pimp trying to become a rapper because that sounds crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't nobody want no grown ass man trying to be a rapper.
Yeah.
But this movie is like, it's so real to me, man.
Yeah.
It's so real. Like this dude, he just trying to make, he's trying to be noticed.
Right.
He's a pimp, but pimps are glamorous and like,
right.
He wasn't none of that.
Right.
He tried his best to curl his hair up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
His little short ass hair.
Yeah, yeah.
He wasn't smooth.
Right.
He was just a dude that he saw opportunity.
Yeah.
He got that. The bass head gave him the little keyboard that he bought.
He's like, let me play with this thing for a minute.
And he was like, man, I used to
be able to do this. I used to do this with music.
He was sitting down. He saw Skinny Black, right? Skinny Black, shout out to Ludacris for playing Skinny Black.
Yeah.
Who was like a dude from his neighborhood, from the same city, different high schools that blew up.
Yeah.
Now he's probably as big as Ludacris is.
Yeah. And he used to be killing them in the rap freestyles back in the day.
Yeah.
That's what he said. I used to beat those all the time.
I remember over there by the mall, he used to be selling the CD. He used to be hustling the CD, his tape out the trunk of his car. Now he's this famous ass rapper. You know what I'm saying? I could have did that.
Mm-hmm.
I could have did that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, and that's such a real thing. When you hear people be like, man, I don't ever go home, man, because there's always a nigga out there feeling like they should be in my spot.
Yeah.
And he was doing that. He felt that way.
Yeah.
He felt like, man, he was doing the same. I mean, we was at two different high schools, but I was doing the same shit he was doing.
Yeah.
I was doing that.
Yeah.
I could do this.
Right.
And he just wasn't doing nothing for it. He didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of times niggas say, I could do that too, man. If I wanted to, I could do that too. Could you? Because it takes effort.
It takes work.
It takes confidence. It takes all those things.
It takes perseverance.
Yeah. It takes a team too.
Yeah.
He had no team.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? All he knew was pimping. All he had around him was hoes.
Yeah.
And then he ran into Key.
Uh-huh.
He ran into Anthony Anderson's character. He was like, hey, man, I remember you, man. You DJ. He was like, I know you. Yeah, man, from high school. Oh, shit. What's up, man?
Yeah.
Damn, it's been a long ass time. How you doing, bro? I'm over here chilling. You hustling. I see you hustling. What you doing? You got his head with me. You got a dildo or something? Said, what the fuck you talking about?
Yeah, I'm just fucking with you, man.
You got all these batteries, my nigga. What you buying all these batteries for? Let me show you what I do. He took him to church.
Yeah.
He showed him that he was there. He does recording for artists at the lowest level at church and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? But so he's like, man,
he was like, you can help me with my music. Let's do something.
And here's the thing, bro. Case in point, I really feel like this. When you try something, and when God sees you trying to figure something out, he gonna help you a little every now and then.
Yeah.
He gonna put somebody in your life that's gonna help your life.
Yeah.
That's gonna help you push. That's how we met, man.
We
didn't meet. That's how we connected because we already knew each other randomly in a place that I seldom was going.
Yeah.
It was the gym.
Right,
I was out of town most of the time. I was doing security, and I came home for maybe a few weeks at a time.
And
I'm at the gym trying to get in shape, and I run into you.
Yep.
And
on a Saturday,
was it Saturday?
I don't go to the gym on Saturdays.
Ah, see,
I never used to go to the gym on Saturdays. Saturdays when I was working out, it was a outside day. Like I needed to be at Runyon, or I would go to the sand dune.
Mm-hmm.
That was my thing. Like,
yeah.
On Saturdays, I got to go out. I got to do this. Right. So, like, I work out through the week. Saturday's my day. It's like, it's the game.
Yeah, and you wasn't even, you came in here because your wife was in there.
Yeah.
Your fiance was there at the time. And I said, what you in for? And I was like, oh, you're looking for my girl.
Yeah.
And she was upstairs on the treadmill on the elliptical.
No, she wasn't there. I don't think.
I saw her. No, she was there.
She was there?
Because you was in regular clothes. You you was coming there to see her.
Yeah.
She was in there working out.
Yeah.
And you was in regular clothes. And I was just about to leave. I had just got off to the treadmill, sweaty as hell, about to go out and go to my car and leave.
Yeah.
And you was coming in upstairs.
Yep.
So it reminds me of, and we was catching up because we knew each other, but we didn't know each other that well. So what you been up to, man? Over here just writing, man, just doing these sketches.
Yeah.
I got a web series I'm putting together. A web series? Oh, you do that?
Yeah.
And you show me like a clip.
Show you the nose man.
Yeah, nose man on your phone. And that's when I was like, Eureka.
Yeah.
I was like, maybe this should work.
Yeah.
Because I never knew you did that. I've known you for years at the time. But I never knew that we had that same interest, right?
Which was crazy because at the time I was writing for other people, like all my friends. I was like, dang, I need... So I had gotten a motorcycle accident, and it was after the motorcycle accident, and we used to see each other all the time when I had a motorcycle.
Yeah.
And when I got a motorcycle accident, I was there. I was going to the gym. I had just started running again around that time. And I was like, oh, damn, I can run. So I was like, this is time. Like, I need to write. I need to have something out there. That way, if somebody comes to me, comes to one of my shows, says you're funny, what else do you have? I can show them something.
Boom.
But I wasn't thinking about stuff for me.
Yeah.
So that's what Nose Man was. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I have to do something.
Right. Silly. I saw that. And I was like, man, this nigga's a genius.
He was like, yeah, this is
crazy. We got to work, bro.
Yeah.
And we've been rocking ever since then. Yeah. So when I see him and Key, I see DJ and Key running to each other at the little liquor store randomly. They start rocking. And he got an idea. Hey, bro, you do this. You do music. You make beats and stuff like that. I rap.
I got verses all in my head.
Mm-hmm. Let's do something.
Yeah.
And that's how it started. And then Keys had a homeboy, which was Shelby, that little white homie.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, hey, man, I got a dude that he does beats too. He mixed and all that.
And this is why I love this movie so much. It's because certain parts are so, if for lack of a better term, niggerish.
Uh-huh.
This, because he's the white dude, it says... Who the fuck is that, man?
And he goes, Tennessee, though.
Tennessee. He goes, that's Shelby.
He said,
he look, and he go, you know he white, right?
You know he white, right? He was like, nah. He just light-skinned it. Like, of course, you know he white. Shelby look white as hell.
Oh, my gosh.
But it's like, it's misfits. One dude is in the church.
Yeah.
Other dude's a white dude. Look like a Mormon.
It looked like it ain't supposed to happen.
Yeah, and then this pimp nigga, like, what are these three dudes coming together to do? Make some bomb-ass music.
Bomb-ass music.
You know what I'm saying? And
then he goes in there, starts playing with the music, and he starts looking at him like, oh, shit. Like, yeah.
I do this.
Damn. Like, going crazy. Yeah, man. It's stuff like that, man. I just love about this movie. I feel like there's so many moments where you can just like pinpoint to where it's like, damn, that's funny, or damn, that's real.
Mm-hmm.
When he throws out
Lexus. That was tough. She deserved it.
She deserved all of it.
I still feel bad though.
But when he went back to that door, like he was about to let her back in, and he stopped himself and he just looked. And he was like, man, I have, like, he's fighting himself. Mm-hmm. I have the heart to be like, all right, look, you chill, just chill out, right? Come back in, chill out.
But
the pimp in him is like, nah, bruh, if you do that, you lose over. Everybody.
You lose everybody. They watching you. They watch you. So with this, what he did, even like, because I see a house full of people who are broken. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The hose is broken. The pimp is broken.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just messing with him for no reason.
I don't think Suge broken though.
Suge?
Yeah. I think she just living she got in her
pregnant.
World.
She pregnant by a nigga she don't even know who.
But she's happy most of the time.
But she...
Except when she need that extension.
Huh?
We need that extension, D.
You said what?
She need that extension, D.
She need that extension. Nah, she was broken because she was there.
Yeah.
Like she's living with her.
I'm going with what I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Most of the time it's like. It's like
I think she's the only one accepting her terms in life.
Yeah.
I think I won't even say comfortable.
She's being what she can for him.
Right. And so Lexus is this particular night, she like on his head, what was you at, nigga? Blah 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 blah. And she, you ain't nobody, you a bitch.
Yeah.
And he said, hold on, man. All right, now you talking, you can complain, but now I'm a pimp. I'm your pimp.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm a what?
Yeah.
Snatched her up.
Yeah.
She said, nigga, you a bitch.
And she like, she wants something from him.
Yeah. Right there. She's hurting.
Yeah.
For example, I saw that scene like, beat me up, slap me around.
Yeah.
Make me feel like you care about me, man.
Right.
I'm calling you a bitch and you ain't going to do nothing.
Yeah.
And at that point, he let her know, oh, you don't respect me, which she didn't.
Right.
And she don't respect herself, of course.
Right.
And he was like, me and you, we done. Mm. It took the air out of her, bro. Watch that scene, y'all.
Yeah.
That scene, he had her choked up in the middle of the living room because she called him a bitch.
I'm not going to do what you want me to do.
Yeah.
I ain't going to slap you around and do all the stuff I used to do.
Nah.
We're done.
You know what I mean? We done.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out. And she was like, yeah, right.
Yeah.
And, you know, put me out. Fuck you. That nigga went and got her clothes.
Threw everything out.
He threw the clothes and the drawers that her clothes were in out of the dresser.
Out the house.
Took the drawers and threw them out.
I can get some more drawers.
Yeah. He was trying to take the baby crib out, which is crazy. But at that point, you pimping. You got to go all the way in.
You got to.
He about to keep the baby crib out, too. And he took the baby who was in the walker, got it out of it.
He loved that little boy.
Yeah, he did.
Dang.
But at that point, he was like, man, I got a clean house. I got a subordinate hoe.
Yeah.
Talking crazy to me, man. She got to go. I got to show her. So the rest, you can't do this to me.
Yeah, huh? Man. If you got a subordinate hoe, man, sometimes you got to kick her out the house.
Man, baby and all. I mean, little man like that, what I do? I ain't do nothing, man, but help you make the beat.
That's it. You know, we was sitting there playing the music. Now I gotta be outside.
And she came in there, but she was miserable. She didn't even want the baby to be cool.
Oh my god.
The baby, she was asleep. She going in there waking the baby up. The baby having a good time in there with DJ. She coming in there snatching the baby up.
Yeah. Like, man, that's what
she said. I just got him chilling.
She said, he said you're gonna get that boy a tick messing with him like that all the time.
Yeah, man. She didn't care. So he kicked her out, and that face, when he closed the door on her, nigga, where else I'm going to go? She looked like, man, a wounded puppy, bro.
Man.
And she realized, oh, this is real. I'm done. He really done with me. And it was breaking her heart. She was done. Yeah.
Hey, man.
Shouldn't have been talking shit.
Sometimes you gotta make hard decisions in life, man. And I feel like for that movie, if he doesn't make that decision.
Yeah.
He loses everything.
Yeah.
He loses everything.
She didn't think fat meat was greasy, man.
She thought an elephant wasn't heavy.
Man, he let her know. Elephant heavy than the motherfucker. You out of here.
Yeah.
Great scene. Taraji, Suge, she was doing her thing. Mm-hmm. She was crying like a little baby because they were a family.
Yeah.
And it's like losing the sister.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that was a hard scene to watch. So it's very traumatic to watch. And people who ain't ready for this type of film,
yeah,
you got to be ready, prepared to watch something so real. This happens every day. Mm-hmm. People, and to me, I loved his character because I was rooting for the bad guy. Mm. He had three hoes. He was pimping.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? He's not an upstanding individual.
He's an unreliable character. Unreliable, as in he's not going to be, at some times he's the bad guy, sometimes he's the good guy.
Mm-hmm. That's life, though.
Yeah.
Because people think that when you look at him.
You want to root for him sometimes, and sometimes you don't.
I love this character because I saw the realness in this character, in DJ. He just was trying to make it, and he was doing bad, trying to do something good for himself, trying to elevate his position, all while doing something fucked up, pimping. You know what I'm saying? So, and people be like, oh, that's messed up. How could he do that? Where it was from, if you look at his living conditions, some niggas don't know no different, no better.
Yeah.
Some people are like, how come you didn't go to college? They're like, college, what's that?
Yeah.
They might know, they might have heard of it, but some people don't even know a person that's ever been to college.
That's when it happened.
What?
Let me say that. That's when it happens. That's when guys turn into pimps around college. Everybody has their chance.
While in college?
While in college.
Oh, but if you ain't never been to college.
Hey, you can be outside of it. You could be going around the time where you're supposed to be in college.
The worst
is where it happens.
When you around the chicks that be liking you a little too much.
Yeah.
And you realize you're like, damn, she likes me too
much. She likes me way too much.
She'll low-key do it. Anything I can let her go. Dang. And at that point, you got to decide what kind of heart you're going to have.
What kind of heart are you going to have?
And every nigga had a heart like Hitler.
Bruh.
You know what I'm saying?
Look, I was real quick, okay? Because I got pimp stories, okay?
Uh-oh.
But I give you one where, like, there was this chick. She liked me, mm-hmm. right? She was cool. She was sweet.
Right.
Loving. She let me use her car. Mm-hmm. If I needed anything, she would give it to me. We came down from where I was going to college at.
Yeah.
And
I'll be specific. I know these for that. Right.
Came down from where I was going to college at, and we was at a party. Mm-hmm. And she low-key chose up. Mm-hmm. One of the homies. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, all right. She chose up. I'm cool. She calls me and pretty much asked me for permission.
Mm.
And she wanted me to say no.
And you said, yeah.
I said, do what you want to do. If that's what you want to do, you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I didn't put it on me. Don't try to give me no decision like that. Mm-hmm. That's not for me, sis. Go ahead. You do your thing.
Right.
So then she did it. Mm-hmm. Right? Crying the whole time. Calls me. You know, I'm like, look, man, that's what you wanted to do. I'm not playing this game with you. It's mm-hmm. weird that you would even do that. We're friends. We're going to stay friends. That's all we're going to be.
Because
mm-hmm. you just did some fugazi type shit anyway. So don't put me in that type of position.
I'm not for that. I realized situations like that, definitely it came my way too. It was around college too. That's crazy you said that. It's just young. Here's the thing, because you're young and dumb and stupid, uh-huh. but you're old enough to be able to do grown shit.
Yeah.
That's where it kind of happens. And you kind of figure out your way.
But somebody's going to like you so much.
And you realize,
and they don't know what they're doing. They're thinking.
They just want to please you.
They just want to do
something.
They want
you around.
If you want them to do whatever, they just might do it.
Speaking of such, remember the quick tangent. School days, college.
Yes.
Tisha Campbell's character.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? And Julian, the uh-huh. Big Brother Almighty.
Yes.
He basically, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. She did whatever. She gave the buns to Spike Lee character, half
Ooh.
Pint. Because her dude at the time told her to.
Yes. Oh, my God.
I said, oh, so what you said, I was about to deny. I said, nah, why specifically college? No, that's when you're still stupid. You're still young and dumb, and you old enough to do the grown shit.
I had a homeboy that was actually a pimp for a while.
Here's the thing. Especially going to UNLV. I got a homie who went to UNLV.
Uh-huh.
I can't say his name, but shout out. You know, you're my partner. You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to UNLV.
Yeah, here's the thing. You're young and dumb. You're a freshman, and you're popular on campus.
Yeah.
And as you're in the city of sin,
uh-huh.
he says that's a big thing out there. A lot of dudes get that little refund check or they little student loan bread. And
little Pell Grant.
That Pell Grant. That Pell Grant. You know what I'm saying? In the wrong hands of a 19-year-old. He like, bro, let me go get a fit. Let me get a couple fits.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Give me a little whip.
Yeah.
And get on that blade. You know what I'm saying? And
already had
I'm already in Vegas.
I already had a whip. I painted my car. I had a Malibu. Painted that bad boy.
Dang.
Sapphire blue.
Dang.
Keep going.
Okay. Yeah. So, and when you grow up like DJ did in Tennessee, you don't really have no other options.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. I always thought that was weird. I said, that's not true. You always go to the job. Work at the Piggly Wiggly.
Mm-hmm.
Work at the, become a mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
And yes,
it's like your circumstance. It's like you can be in San Bernardino.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's where one of my homies was. He was way out there.
That's like Tennessee.
Yeah. San Bernardino, just like Tennessee.
Yeah.
Wild.
Dirt Rock City. You know what I'm saying?
A wild place.
Yeah, yeah. And so he just felt trapped. And do you remember the scene where he was telling Suge, like he confided in her? And he never really treated. He always treated Nola like the big brother,
mm-hmm.
and he treated Suge like he did treat Suge almost like a girlfriend almost.
Yeah.
He was like, you know, I be having. He says, I just feel like I should be doing something better in my life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I couldn't. And then she started telling him the real shit. Like, you know, I be having these dreams where something bad about to happen and stuff.
My baby.
Like that, my baby, and Remember, he got up and just walked away from her?
But he got up strong.
He got up and scared her.
Like, what the fuck you talking about right now?
Yeah.
And she was just
scared.
Because it scared him.
Because he was having a human moment
with
a woman that he cared about.
Yeah.
And they realized, nigga, I'm over here confiding in my pimp and letting her confide in me. What are we doing? Nigga, we a couple. No, he didn't like that.
He just stood the fuck up.
He hopped up out of there and walked out. And he just walked away from her. Didn't say shit to her. You know what I'm saying? To me, it showed me a man that's battling his feelings,
mm-hmm.
and is battling his place on life. I can't even do this right.
Right.
I'm supposed to be out here pimping hard. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And I'm over here having a heart-to-heart with one of my hoes, and it's too comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't like that about himself. But that's who he was.
But that's
he was trying to fight that.
That's why these scenes are so, like, strong. Like, it's every scene, like, when he's in there and they're really acting and they're doing their thing, like, they're really capturing these moments.
Yeah.
To where
it's a great job of that.
It's like, damn, do I really need to be in here? Do I really need to be listening to this? Do I really love this person? If I do love this person, do I let the... It was just... He's
man confused and stuck in his own world.
Man.
And not knowing how to get out of it.
Man.
You know what I'm saying? And that music was like his escape. You know what I'm saying?
Now, we got to talk about the music.
Oh, yeah.
Got to talk about the music.
Shout out to Terrence Howard for it. I was like, man, he was doing his thing, man.
He was.
You know what I'm saying? The music was very, very aggressive, very abrasive, especially the beginning before he found his sound or before he found out with his subject.
His conversation. Remember, he was like, what do you have? He was like, what,
he was nervous. He didn't want to. He didn't want to go into it for a man. He was like, "Yo, I want to hit no blunt first. Nah, yeah, nigga, we gonna just get to the music.
Go ahead, tell me what you got.
All right. Man.
I bet you won't beat that bitch. Whoa!
Whoop that bitch. Kick that bitch. Hey, bro, we trying to do TV. We trying to do radio.
To get this on the radio.
Radio play, right?
He's like, "Oh, all right."
He
was like, but he ain't saying it like
whoop that chick. He
ain't saying it like he talking about like a woman. He talking about just like. Like life. Bitches, like life. And he was like, he was like, I ain't trying to call no bitch no hoe.
He said,
no,
he said,
no,
I ain't trying to. He said, man, I ain't really trying to call no hoe no bitch. I said, whoa. He was like, hey, yeah, man, but people might listen to that and think it's derogatory.
Yeah.
Degrading, man. Like, come on.
What else would you call it?
What you want from me, man? He said, give me something else, man. Say something else.
He said,
all right, beat that hoe. Beat that skank.
Whoop that trick.
That's it.
Now listen. Now, this is probably the corniest part of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, yeah, like a champ. Whoop that trick.
Get him.
Whoop that trick. Get him. Whoop that trick. He's like, yeah, whoop that trick. It's like, it just don't, I don't.
but sometimes that's how niggas come up with hooks. They be like, hey, man. Hey, man. We do that all the time. Yeah.
When I saw it, I was just like, hell no. When I first saw it, I was like, hell no, they ain't about to do this. And then when they started playing the music, I was like, okay. And then they like, find it. And he just like, yeah. And he's just like, all right, let's find it. Like, it was all dope.
Yeah.
But it's just like, when I saw Anthony Anderson doing it, I was just like, nah.
That ain't it. That ain't how it be going.
That's the church homie right there.
That's the church homie. But come on, this is rural South Tennessee.
And that's another thing too.
He was a regular dude.
That's another thing too. They did a really good job in making him the anti of what DJ was.
Right.
They made him all the way clean cut, and he stayed that way.
Had a wife, job,
everything, and she.
But he had a void. He was missing.
Yeah.
He needed DJ. For one, he softened up DJ.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because you saw how soft he was when Yvette finally came to the studio, to the house.
Who, DJ?
With the sandwiches. Yeah, he was like super respectful.
Oh, you mean his wife?
Yeah, when Yvette came.
Yes, yes.
And he was like, nah, you know, we really appreciate you letting him do his thing over here. And
But he also knew that they were having issues.
Yeah.
And remember, they argued about it at first. Uh-huh. And when they argued about it, he was like, what, you need some pussy, man? I can get one of these hoes in here.
What you say to me, motherfucker? and that's where the nigga came out.
Yeah.
We from the same place. I just chose to go church.
Yeah.
And we from the same high school,
that's
bro.
What he said. He said, fuck that. He was like, no, fuck that, man.
Yeah, man.
You need to go and fuck Yvette. That's what
that
he
nigga
do.
Slapped that nigga.
He slapped
him. Must slap him. Smack, motherfucker. Hey, well, at that point, bro.
Nigga Shirley Temple's shook and everything.
The curly cues, like, shifted a little bit.
Yeah.
Anthony Anderson ain't no little nigga. He might have got mopped up in there, DJ. Right. That's why he didn't really.
He got some long arms.
Yeah.
Shaped like an orangutan.
Yeah. So I dug how that friendship came mm-hmm. into play. Mm-hmm. And it was three guys who weren't happy in their position. DJ, old boy, even the white boy was like, I go to vending machines.
Vending machines.
I deal with vending machines. That's my job.
Yeah.
I don't like doing that shit. This shit boring. It is not fulfilling at all.
Yeah.
Oh boy, is Keys is he's recording opera singers at his church.
Yeah,
he don't care nothing about that, man.
Yeah,
you know, but this music at least is something that he can do outside of the
norm. Connected to the music.
Yeah, that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to be a part of something that somebody was passionate about.
Yeah,
and he found DJ, and something DJ bigger. Was passionate about. And he was really passionate about the shit he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy because he was saying all kinds of bitches and hoes and hood shit.
Yeah.
But people look at that, oh, that's gangster music, that's pimp music. But that's what these niggas know.
So listen.
I can't talk about nothing else.
When it comes to some of this stuff, like, because I've been listening to a lot of people talk about, why would you listen to trap music? Why would you listen to music where they're talking about killing people or selling drugs or
pimping hoes,
whatever? Why would you listen to a story? Why would you watch a movie? Why would you listen to your uncle who used to sell drugs that's now giving you advice?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's done something. He's been there.
Right.
Like, some of this stuff is stories. Some mm-hmm. of this stuff is, this is what I've gone through, so you don't do it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I did that. So hopefully you don't got to go through that. Jay-Z said that.
That's how Pops was,
You know what I mean? So it's just like, you know, some people just like look at it like it, like they look at Young Jeezy, and some people don't like who he's become. And it's like, how could you not like?
He evolved into a different dude.
Yeah, like he's different. He's into real estate. He's trying to do different things. So now when he's talking about mental health and all this stuff, you can't sit there and get mad at him because he used to rap about.
You can if you don't understand. If you don't, some people don't want to understand. Some mm-hmm. people want you to stay the same. Mm-hmm. I remember, who was it? I was watching something recently. Mm-hmm. I watched an Instagram video of somebody, and then somebody said, "Hey, bro, go back to doing this." It was YG. I watched a video on YG. It was a picture of YG, and down there they said, "YG, bro, I fuck with what you're doing, bro. Keep." He said, "Man, but I want you to go back to the hood shit, man, and cut this industry bullshit out." Now, mind you, I don't know what YG is doing with his life, but I just know that I know. He's in a better position financially mm-hmm. and probably doing a lot of good things for his family.
And I know people around him,
And 50 Cent doing the same shit, Jeezy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you at one point in time had $300 to your name, you was robbing niggas.
Mm-hmm.
And now you, 15 years later, multi-millions, you got $30 million to $300 million. Yeah. You should be not doing the same shit you was doing when you had them $300, my nigga.
Yeah, but at the same time, you should still be able to find the balance in telling somebody a story. You know what I'm saying? The thing is, people got so connected to this real thing that it kind of messed up music.
What do you mean it's a real thing?
I mean, like, keeping it real. Did you really do that? Did you do this? Like, now rappers have to do what they say. And it's like, nah, rappers could be like Ice Cube and just see shit happening. And then, you know what? I'm going to tell this story about this stuff that's happening because it needs to go down and people need to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that's there.
Yeah.
Ice Cube wasn't no gangster.
No, he wasn't.
Eazy-E was.
Yeah.
Okay. What's going out there in the streets? Talk to me. It's like, you know, it's a call and response type thing. This is what's going on, so let's change it this way.
Right.
You know?
I totally understand that. And I will say this, in response to that, I will say people will still be like, why would listen to that type of music? Because a lot of the message I'll listen to it and be like, oh shit, that's dope. How you put that story, how you wrote that story. But some folks be like, nigga, I wanna be this nigga. I wanna be the gangster. I wanna be the pimp.
You can be that in so many different ways.
But they wanna be that. Yeah. I wanna pimp hoes, nigga, because Sugar Free said, nigga, I'd rather give you my bitch.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga, I wanna get a bitch too. They'd rather give my bitch to a nigga before I let him breathe on my last bit of endo smoke. I want that.
Pimp and Ken wrote a book.
You know what I'm saying?
And Pimpin' Ken said everything is a trick to you. So if you doing this game, everything is pimping. You're supposed to pimp this game out. So it's like pimp your career.
Max life out.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's what you're supposed to be doing. That's just stuff you're supposed to be taking from it. You don't supposed to look but literally you know, and go, oh, I'm going to be a pimp now.
But a lot of niggas do.
Yes.
I get it. I'll education. I listen to some of the most hardcore rap shit ever growing up.
Yeah.
It never made me want to be that nigga.
Yeah.
Because I had a whole different role model at the crib that was telling me and showing me something different.
Right.
But I still listened to it for the stories, for the way they put it out.
Mm-hmm.
The stories were exciting to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
The way he delivered the lyrics and the different cadences. Those are why I liked gangster rap and gang banging shit. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not most kids. Most kids are you know what I'm saying, influenced by that shit to the point where they want to be and do all the shit they hear about.
But also, there's also so many things to listen to when you're talking about rapping and you're talking about just listening to music in general.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if I'm listening to a song, I'm not just listening to the song for just the words that he's saying.
Right.
I'm saying, how is he putting these words together?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. Well, you were just listening to Wiz Khalifa the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And he was...
Broke that shit down.
We was like, man.
And
this
then
dude
got
is
two or three different styles in one
killing it.
Song. Yeah.
Killing it. And it's just like, man, there's so many ways you can listen to music and you don't have to connect to that. But what you just said was, you know, you had a different role model at home.
Right.
So when you're at home, you know, your home's supposed to be a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
So out there in the streets, like, you know what I'm saying? You're supposed to take everything as just, this is a lesson or this is a fable that you're supposed to just listen to. You know what I mean? That way you can get into life and go, all right, this is how I deal with this situation.
True.
And not be out here like, oh, this means I have to sell drugs. Most of the people that I know that listen to trap music be business people. They be getting it with the trap music.
Right.
And that's because they want to hustle. They're out there hustling. They know that this world is hustling.
Mm-hmm.
This capitalistic system that we live on, that everybody has to work in, is hustling. So if you're not hustling, what are you doing?
Bullshitting. Get your money while you're bullshitting.
While you're bullshitting.
Hey.
So you got to whoop that trick sometime.
Got to whoop that trick. That's life. So, and DJ is trying to get his demo tape together. He's making songs. He finally got his team.
Mm-hmm.
He got his production team. He got the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
They make
trying
music
to get it together for
single
Skinny
after single of Skinny Black. Black playing played by Ludacris, who's gonna be at Arnell's.
Yeah.
He gonna come home to Tennessee on 4th of July.
But they need something with heart.
Mm-hmm.
The movie has heart. Everything that we've been seeing has had heart in it. Or something like gritty.
Yeah.
So it's like, how do we make something that has heart?
Right.
So what do? They go and they go to Suge. Come here. Come try to sing this song for me.
She's nervous.
Nervous because she's
unsure of herself.
Unsure.
Don't want to mess up.
He's broke her down to a point to where it's like, I can't even take this step unless he says it.
Mm-hmm.
So she can't do nothing. Like, she's sitting there, because it's hard out here for him.
She's so used to being quiet.
Yeah. She don't even want a belt. She don't want to do nothing. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And before they even choose her, they in there arguing, going back and forth. She come in with a little light. She's like, I know Skinny Black had to
a lava lamp. I watched an interview, and he had a little lava lamp.
So this is for y'all. Y'all get a little, just like Skinny Black.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And walked out.
You believe in omens? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then she about to sing. And then he grabs her.
Hey, man.
Push that shit out.
Push that shit out. What the fuck you doing?
And it's hard out here for a pimp.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's the thing. They came up with that hook when he was walking down the street with Key. Like, hey, bro.
Yeah.
It's tough out here, man. Like, you know, I'm just trying to make a way. I'm not necessarily proud of what I'm doing, but.
Yeah. It's hard out here for a pimp.
It's hard out here for a pimp. That's my profession. That's what I do.
When you're trying to get the money for the rent.
Yeah. He's like, hey, man.
Hold up.
You got something here.
I'm going to write that shit down.
Write that shit down.
And he wrote it down.
Mm-hmm.
No, he didn't say write that shit down. Remember, they were walking. He had crates.
Yeah, he was just listening
to him. And he wasn't helping him.
Right. He wasn't.
He said, like, nigga, you going to help me with these crates?
Yeah.
And he said, wait a minute. He put the shit down. He like this. He just like, it's hard out there for a pimp when you're trying to get the money for the rent. Like, that's crazy.
And that's a cold. Because pimps are looked at as like glorified hustlers.
Yeah.
Gang spitters.
Yeah.
Gift of gab niggas.
Yeah.
He was like, it's hard out here for a pimp, especially when you're trying to get the money for the rent. a pimp just trying to get money for the rent. He got a real job.
Yeah.
His job ain't easy.
Yeah.
That's why I say pimping ain't easy.
Yeah.
Hey, it wasn't for him. He was a struggling pimp trying to make money for the rent and the lights.
Yeah.
Like, he was trying to get everything done.
Yeah.
Even so, that frustration where he had to buy this mic, right?
Then he said, with the Cadillacs and cash getting spent, we'll have a whole lot of bitches jumping ship.
Lexus. Bars.
That's the movie.
And that's the shit he was going through.
Yeah.
That's the shit he was really going through. So, man, and we saw all the shit he was rapping about. Mm-hmm. It was his life. He was mm-hmm. really living that life, man. He was mm-hmm. frustrated. And all that, the way he was rapping that shit, mm-hmm. he was serious about it. He put his heart and soul into that demo.
And he was making sure niggas was looking like they beating their head. They nodding like, what's going on? He looking. like, y'all like this?
Y'all rock? Yeah. Okay.
I'm unsure, but it's like, all right, let me go ahead and go. Yeah, bro.
He was doing all this weeks and weeks to prepare for this moment to meet Skinny Black, mm-hmm. to reunite with Skinny Black, a nigga he knew from back in the day.
Yeah.
I knew Skinny Black when he was hustling his own tape independently at the mall.
Was telling that story over and over again.
Yeah. He said, we went to different high schools, but I knew him.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know that. He didn't know Skinny Black. But he knew of him. He knew of him when Skinny Black was nobody.
Damn.
So Skinny Black didn't remember this nigga, but he did, because he's Skinny Black. He remembered that nigga. So 4th of July finally came.
Yeah.
He got his best threads, his leather jacket. You know what I'm saying?
Ugly.
He got a fresh ass perm.
Nothing's fresh except that perm.
And that chain. Uh-huh. That Suge got him.
Suge got him a chain.
You know what I'm saying? How she pay for all that chain, the lava lamp?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
She probably had a little stash.
I mean, or
mm-hmm. the pregnant
wouldn't
box.
Hit that street.
waddled next door and gave some enough for something. And so he realized, man, she down for him.
Yeah.
It's the day of. This 4th of July afternoon. They about to drive to wherever the city is mm-hmm. for him to go meet up with
She got the little powder on her chest right here. Mm-hmm. Keep going.
Yep, she hooked him up with that chain, and that meant everything to him. He was like a little kid. He had never had nothing good for him, right? And he walked out. That scene when he walked on the porch and the key, like, come on, man, we got to be there by 9 o'clock, right?
Yeah.
All right, man, come on.
He ain't sure.
He was like, he looked at her and said, I ain't scared.
Yeah.
Because that nigga was petrified.
All the way.
He was scared. This is the moment, make or break.
Yeah.
He's lacking confidence, but he got to do it. He got to see what it's about.
Yeah.
Take this moment.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so she said, I know you ain't.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked down to the sidewalk. And before he got in the car, he turned around, looked at her. And she looked away and walked into the house. And I'm thinking he's so nervous. And he was nervous, but it was a multitude of different emotions he was feeling.
Yeah.
And I forgot this part.
Yeah.
I saw the movie in the theater back in the day.
Uh-huh.
But he was like, he looked like he was worried.
Yeah.
And they doubled back, ran back in the house.
Let me kiss my woman.
Kiss my woman, bro.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? That was a scene, bro.
Yeah.
And that to me was a man kissing a woman that he loved, as opposed to a pimp kissing his hoe.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what this movie to me represents in so many ways. Like, mm-hmm. just a human being doing life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And trying to get life right.
You know what I'm saying? Trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And he wasn't raised well.
Right.
And you just see a man navigating through the world mm-hmm. through the guy that he had mm-hmm. growing up, which wasn't too much.
And he has these strong women that's holding him up.
Right.
That want to help, that want to do something all the time.
Something.
Remember when she came in? She said, can I do something? Or when she just came in and sat down?
Yeah, you talking about the Nola?
Yeah.
She came in like, man,
get the fuck out of here, man.
Get the fuck out of here, man. She got him, walked off. He doesn't want me in there. And then she was like, remember when Key was like, bro, you need a mic. You need a real mic. This other mic is bullshit.
Yeah.
And he went to the little music shop, like, bro, this mic costs a lot of money. And he saw the dude looking at the Nola. He was like, bro, basically.
See something you like?
Let's make an exchange.
Damn.
Yo, Nola, I need this microphone. So go in there in the back and take care of old boy for me so he can give me this mic for free.
And she like, and I ain't trying to do that shit.
He said, no way. I ain't doing that.
Yeah.
Do it. I'll see you outside in a minute.
Yeah.
She did it, came outside. Don't ever do that shit to me again. And I'm like, that was a scene. Because she was like, I know I'm your hoe. I get it. But like, I got to say so.
Yeah.
Don't just pimp me off. I'm at a cash machine, my nigga.
Yeah.
You can't just do me like that. I'm supposed to mean something to you.
Which is crazy because you are.
Yeah. He said, like, bro, first of all, you are exactly what you're supposed to do. But that was a real moment for them.
It's a real moment.
And at this point,
that's what I mean. There's like so much strength in how these women are acting, how they're responding to him, mm-hmm. and how they have a choice. It's like everybody has a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're dealing with somebody that has a heart or doesn't, it's like you still have a choice to come up and try to fight. But,
yeah.
you know, some people don't. I get it. But in this movie, in this film, they all had choices and they made it clear and known.
Right.
It's like, no, this is my choice to do this. I want to uplift this man
mm-hmm.
or I want to, you know.
And she just felt at that moment, she was like, I know I do all kind of shit with you worse.
Yeah.
But this, she fell apart that day.
Yeah.
She came out, was like, nah, man. Because he thinking we're not working.
Yeah.
I'm going to.
I'm just rolling with you.
I'm rolling with DJ. He my
pimp. We doing music.
He doing music. We chilling. And he lets you know, yeah. oh, no, you still on the clock.
Yeah.
She was like, hold on, nigga. I thought we was just chilling today.
Yeah.
Nah, nigga, you still my hoe. Do that.
Damn.
So she did her job, came out, and she was pissed off. And so it was like that moment, she said, bro, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
You going to do it? And then they had an argument. Remember, like yeah. you said, he was like,
I hate you.
We got to do what we got to do to survive. Yeah. You think I want to do this shit?
Yeah.
I hate you. I don't want to be here with you.
Right.
Him saying I hate you means I hate myself.
I hate myself.
Yeah,
I hate myself for having to do this.
Right.
And on top of that, he's been giving her game like that. He's
right.
been giving her the game mm-hmm. to be exactly who she was going to be at the end.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So
she was a soldier, man.
Yeah.
And then he had Suge was his backbone.
Yeah.
And Nola was his soldier.
Yeah.
I mean, and so he was like, we in charge, right? We in charge.
I'm in charge.
Yeah, I'm in charge.
I'm in charge. That's my favorite part of that movie.
And it's
say
funny.
I'm in charge. I'm in charge.
And you think like, what is he in charge of? But you gotta give people that. You gotta get.
She's in charge of everything.
Yeah,
but he's been telling her that the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he was like, you know what? I see you.
At first, he was like, "We in charge of this."
Yeah,
she's like, "Everybody got something to do, but me. I want to do something. Yeah. What you want to do? I don't know, but I want to do something. What the fuck you want to do? I don't know." But
he's
something.
Like, "You can't dance.
Not this. Yeah,
he's like,
you can't be a stripper.
Remember, we tried to put you up there and you fell. You fell on them hills.
Yeah,
it's like you can't do nothing but this.
Right?
Like, come on, mm-hmm. man.
Even when Suge was singing." And he was like, okay, I want to lay something down too. Let me get a hook. No, watch out, man.
Not right now.
So she was like, what the fuck you want to do?
They had her control the fan, bro.
Yeah, hit the fan.
She's happy to do it.
Hit the fan, look.
She's happy to do it.
She was like, I don't want to do this. Like, what you want to do? Not this.
Yeah, but then it's like, that's another thing that just shows heart. Some people going to go through, they're going to do things, they're going to have you do things. They're going to see, like, okay, she's hurt from this.
Right.
Okay, I got this mic now. She got the mic. I ain't doing nothing on this mic until she comes and blesses it.
Something small.
Small like that.
Something
small. Give me some kind of win.
Yeah, bro. Movie dope, bro. It make you feel the music. Hey, the music he was doing, especially for that time, was cracking.
Yeah.
05?
I listen to that now sometimes.
Yeah,
I go right to YouTube. Man,
you know
let me see. Look, where this Whoop That Trick?
And he was doing this thing for, Whoop That Trick, Hard I Hit for a Pimp. Shit was nice.
Yeah.
It was dope. And I feel like to see the progression mm-hmm. of how he was getting started, how they was starting to jail, one hit, turned mm-hmm. to another hit, and then mm-hmm. another hit. Oh, his demo ready. This is 05. This is CDs. 05 is still CDs.
Yes, sir.
Tapes is old.
Yeah.
He got tapes, though.
He got tapes.
You know what I'm saying? And so he finally gets to the point to see Skinny Black.
Yeah.
And I love that interaction. Skinny Black was way too disrespectful.
All the way.
But he sat there and took it. And he had to find a way to pimp through it. You know what I'm saying?
That's the thing. You got to pimp through life sometimes.
Yeah.
How am I going to pimp? I'm going to sit back, get my confidence, and I'm going to say some real shit.
Yeah.
You change, man.
He said, what the fuck you mean I change? I don't know you, nigga. You don't know me, nigga.
Yeah. Remember this? Da-da-da-da. And then pulls out the tape.
Old tape. I don't even have this no more. Where you get this from? Nigga, I'm a fan, bro.
Yeah.
We need you. We miss you, man. Come back home,
The hood
man.
Miss you.
The hood miss you,
this
man.
This is where you at.
Yeah. Then they get drunk.
Now they good.
Now they get drunk. Now, I promise you, the first time I saw it, I was like, oh, shit, he about to put him on.
Yeah.
Hey, man. Little
my God.
Skinny Black was drunk. Like, bro, let me go take a piss. He went to the bathroom, used the restroom, passed out. Now. Everything good.
Everything.
DJ, good. Think, hey man, this is about to happen, man.
Yeah.
Man, we done bonded, we done built. He go in that bathroom to get his jacket, just use the restroom before he leave.
Yeah.
He thinks it's a successful night.
Skinny Black in there passed out.
Passed out. His draws down.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Like, hey, bruh.
Help him up.
Yeah.
Be friends now, man. hey man, remember, I got your back, bro. Ain't too many men gonna put nigga dick up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Pause. Helped him put his pants on and shit. So he's not out there bad. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then he happened to look into the toilet and like,
it's taped there.
Pull it out.
Yeah.
And thrown in there.
Damn.
That surprised the shadow. That was a curveball I didn't expect coming.
It's a beautiful curveball.
That was dope.
Oh my gosh.
I said, whoa.
Yeah.
He said, now skinny man. Tell me, man.
Tell me you didn't do this,
tell
man.
Tell me this fell out your pocket, man. What the fuck you talking about? No. Skinny man. Wake up, man. Skinny man. Tell me, man.
Wake up.
He said, wake up, bitch. Tell me, man. You ain't just do this, man. Tell me this fell out your pocket, bitch. He says, man, you know what you could do? Suck my dick, nigga.
Bow.
Beat his ass. Bust his shit open.
Skinny. I don't want to whoop your ass.
Yeah, I got
you. But I got you now.
And he realized, nigga, oh shit, I done lost my mind.
Yeah.
I done beat a skinny black.
And all his homies He's outside.
Who outside?
Let me get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Too late. 120 came in. I-20 came in there. Yeah. Pulled the strap out. So now it's a shootout.
Yeah.
Now he didn't have time to explain. At that point, bro, I got a gun. I'm about to shoot this nigga because he's about to kill me.
Yeah.
So... Shootout.
Uh-huh.
He shot his way out of Arnell's.
Yeah.
Got in the whip, pushed off.
Uh-huh.
Now he back at the crib. Mm-hmm. Police already there.
Already.
Because the word travels fast.
Yeah.
Hey, man, what happened? So this nigga named DJ, he live over there on 4th Ave.
Yeah. And it's only one nigga with a Chevy like his driving around.
Yeah, 4th Road. Yeah. And he get there. Police already out there. That's him right there. He turned himself in. I'm sorry, man. I'm not armed.
Yeah.
And now he in the handcuffs.
They coming tripping.
They fire on him.
Boom.
The nigga that-
Oh, my God. Everybody
crying. He getting booked. He getting handcuffed.
Yeah.
And shit. I mean, the Nola, like, what'd I do? He was like,
get my tapes.
Take my pad. He said, get my shit on the radio. Find a way. In 2 weeks, I want to hear my shit when I'm on the yard. He know he going down.
Yeah.
He know I'm going down.
He don't even think that's going to happen.
Nah, he just saying it.
Say I'm in charge.
I'm in charge.
Say I'm in charge.
I'm in charge.
I'm in charge.
Man. And he said, I want to hear my shit on the radio in two weeks.
Yeah.
Do that. And he locked up, man. He locked up. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was 2 weeks. They didn't say.
They didn't.
Yeah.
But he was in jail for some time, though.
Yeah. He had 11
shot somebody.
He shot somebody.
And he beat somebody. He assaulted Skinny Black, and he shot one of his homies. He's definitely in jail for maybe a year.
Yeah, he had 11 months left.
Yeah.
Remember, he was like, I got 11 months. He was like, bro, let's get it.
Yeah.
He said, man, go on there and write. Yeah. Give him his pad. Like,
remember Nola, she put on that business suit that he was talking about with the little thing in his ear, went in there, knobbed off somebody, put this on the radio.
Yeah.
I'll be back over here to knob you off again, Paul. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Take care of that. And she did her job.
Did her job.
Even though Shelby went back to work
with the
vending machines.
Yeah.
Heard the radio, was like,
oh shit.
I made this beat. I produced this song.
Yeah.
It was like
everybody went back to the existence that they were before and they hated it.
So they needed DJ and DJ needed them, bro.
And DJ needed Nola.
Yeah, for sure. For sure, he needed Nella for sure. Absolutely, bro. And it's a hood tale, bro. It's a hood tale. And I think Terrence Howard, Mr. Tremble Voice himself.
Yeah.
I think he did a great job, bro. He said what?
He went to slave school.
Slave school.
Yeah.
Slave language. Slave witch. You know what I'm saying?
Slave witch.
Slave language. There were so many scenes in there that I would... I think the performances were dope as hell.
Mm-hmm.
The music was dope.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great time for 2005. The cast was just as phenomenal as he was. Ludacris was probably the only, his acting was a little stiff.
Yeah.
But it was still good.
Yeah.
He played a character similar to himself, just a hood nigga. But it was still cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it was awkward to see the niggas get along.
Yeah.
He was like, what up, Jay? He was like, DJ. Oh, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He was trying his best to, man. He said, man, we definitely old friends, man.
Yeah.
Them niggas ain't old friends.
At all.
I hated the fact that he knows
I'm about to go in here and rip this tape up and throw it away.
Skinny Black's an asshole, bro.
Man.
He could have been like, hey, check this out, man. I'm not really in a position right now to fuck with nobody on their music, bro. I'm still doing my shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, you keep doing your thing, man.
Yeah.
I can't rock with it, though. He could have said that.
Damn.
But instead, he let him believe that it was cool and went and threw his shit in the trash. Threw his shit in the toilet, which is worse.
Man. After he pissed in it.
Yeah.
Damn.
That's crazy.
He probably threw it in there first and then pissed on it.
Possibly, yeah.
And that's what was going on in DJ's.
That nigga reached in with no glove, nigga.
Like that.
And did this. It had that tissue on it. Yeah. Ah! Yeah, man. So, but at the end of this crazy ass, very traumatic ass film, it was a good ending.
The good bad guy wins at the end.
The good bad guy wins at the end. Mm-hmm. And he wins the only way he could, in jail, because he got to pay for all the bullshit he was doing in life. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like he just goes to rags from rags to riches that fast. He got to sit down and do some time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Which is real, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This movie is so real. It's like, and it's not a perfect story.
Yeah.
It has grit. It got heart. It has some unbearable moments that some people who are kind of squeamish might be like, I don't want to watch this.
Yeah.
Him calling her a bitch and the hoe and all that shit. Yeah. And him choking the chick out. And,
yeah.
But that's what really go on in some of these people's lives, man. And I feel like Hustle and Flow was a solid look into the life of a hood nigga named DJ that ended up pimping because of his circumstances.
Yeah.
He could have been a mechanic, but instead he was that. He might not have the courage to sit, wake up every day and do hard work labor like that. Yeah. A lot of times that's what it is. People are like, man, I'm from the hood, man. I came from humble beginnings. But you could have went to school and become a mechanic.
Yeah.
But that's not what his world was. His mind, a lot of times these kids are afraid. Mm-hmm. Just like you said, I'm afraid to succeed.
Yeah.
He didn't say that, but him telling her, sure, I ain't scared. That means you're scared as fuck. Yeah. A lot, and that, I feel like it's very relatable to the average nigga. The average nigga can watch this movie, Hustle and Flow, and relate to it.
Yeah.
I didn't see too many Hollywood moments to me. I feel like this is a hood-ass film.
Only Hollywood movie moment is Anthony Henderson going, get him.
Maybe. But he might have been a little cornball. Yeah. He ended up going, he from the hood, but he ended up doing the church shit.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah, he's a little cornball, but then look at him and his wife. They both kind of corny, go to church every day. Mm-hmm. That's not corny going to church, but like I think they were corny.
Right.
They had dinner every day at the same time.
Right.
Their marriage was suffering because he found a new passion. And at first I was like, damn, he being a bad husband. Damn. But at the same time, I'm like, he's working on something he believes in. And instead of trying to keep him to the same schedule that you've been usually keeping him to, the monotonous world of y'all life, help him.
Yeah.
In some way, join him.
Yeah.
And that's what she finally did.
But remember, it wasn't like he was extending that olive branch. Like, hey, you can come and do this.
Because she was so against it, remember? Yeah, like, she didn't believe in him. So why would I invite you to something that you don't even believe? She wasn't supportive of that.
Sometimes you got to show your woman what you're doing.
I get that. He was wrong, too.
Yeah.
He was wrong, too. Yeah. But
I had homies that didn't believe in their comedy career and all that shit. And it's like, bro, you need to show her. Do a dope ass show.
He never extended that until DJ said, we want you to stay.
Yeah.
I don't wanna disrupt. He was like, we want you to stay and watch and be a part of this.
Right. Which is another strong message too. It's like sometimes you just gotta do what you gotta do. It don't matter if the people that you love the most don't believe in you. Right. You gotta go through it.
Yeah.
They don't believe in you. Okay. Mm-hmm. I still love them.
Right.
I'm doing, this is what I got to do.
The movie had heart.
You got to make that decision as a man sometimes.
Super relatable, bro.
Yeah.
And I agree. Even his subplot story with the wife was short and small, but it was powerful to me.
Yes, it was.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, it was.
I even liked the Paula J. Parker character when he kicked her out. That was necessary to see, too, because that's how it be sometimes.
Yeah.
You think it's grass is greener somewhere else, well, go see.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And he was wrong for kicking her out, but he's wrong for his whole lifestyle.
Right.
So that's just what goes on in the pimp's world.
For sure.
And in the hoes world. That's kind of what happened. So I feel like it was a window into this hood ass story.
Yeah.
And this was a 3-4 month span of this dude's life. And I thought it was a dope ass
And you story. Believed it. You believed everything.
Super believed it, for sure. Even having the white girl in the hood. That's how it be. You be in the hood.
It'd be
where's the white girl from? Oh, she getting pimped by old boy. Okay.
Getting dug out.
Yeah, I hear you getting dug out. Man, let's get to some of these awards, man.
Okay.
MVP.
It's like a co-MVP.
It's so many characters. I feel like there's so many characters that contributed to this win, this championship. I feel like this is a championship.
I feel like it's Shug and Nola.
Ooh, Shug and Nola.
Co-MVP. They sharing the award. They share him anyway.
True. Shug and Nola.
Shout out to Pimps.
It's hard. I want to say DJ because he has so much drive, but he didn't.
Yeah.
And not at first.
Yeah.
He finally had somebody to believe in him, which was Anthony Anderson's character Key. Uh-huh. So it was, to me, a supportive contribution.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And I agree that Taraji and you can't just say her. I want to say Shug was the MVP because
she was the bottom bitch.
Be nothing without them.
He would be nothing without your bottom bitch.
Yeah, for sure.
And crazy thing is he had two bottom bitches.
Yeah. Yeah. True. True.
That's what you need out here in the world, man. You need two bottom bitches.
Two.
Two bottom bitches.
So I might have to say the MVP would have to go to I'm going to say the MVP had to go to Shug and Nola.
And Nola.
But Shug hit that hook. It's hard out here for a pimp.
Without Nola, that don't get on the radio.
Boom.
Co-MVP. It's both of them.
Co-MVP. Both of them. All right. MVP, Nola and Shug. Yeah. I agree. What y'all think, y'all?
Yeah.
LVP, least valuable.
I don't think there's a least valuable. Unless you want to give it to Skinny.
So here's the thing. I was going to give it to Skinny because if he wasn't there, the record deal, but the Skinny
I'm
gonna was,
give it, I'm gonna give
Skinny
it to
was
20.
A spark. Huh?
I'm going to give it to 20.
I-20?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because why you going to hit him? You gonna play tough, and then you going to hit him when he's handcuffed? Like, come on, bro.
Yeah.
You should have been with your I-20. Homie anyway. You're gonna let your homie go to the bathroom.
They had
drunk.
The crib though, so you think everything cool, but nah,
but they ain't been
crib.
There.
The hood is they ain't is, been is, there. Is active.
And you should be watching. You should be watching.
You
your
should
home
be
boy.
Watching.
You should having be watching much, people going. You yeah, out skinny. There having too much fun.
I-20
ain't that many people in there.
You right. I-20 because Skinny Black is the reason why he even thought about doing music anyhow.
Yeah,
he was like, I could do that.
They
I know
sit
him.
Up there talking. He go to the bathroom.
No, I'm talking about from the jump.
Yeah.
Skinny Black, he's not, I wasn't going to give him the LVP, but he needed to be. He was the reason why, because Terrence Howard was trying to get his confidence, his music together to meet Skinny.
Yeah.
That was the driving force of him going so hard.
Mm-hmm.
And just for it to be deflated like that, that's why he beat the nigga ass so bad, because he was like, nigga, I did all this. You know what I went through?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, but his boy, I-20.
I mean, come on.
You 20 was a sucker, man.
You the crew. And that's another thing, too. I feel like that's another thing that people can take for this. If you got people out there that's, you know, doing whatever they're doing, and they bringing everybody money, they bringing home the bacon, all right?
Mm-hmm.
You need to take care of them people.
Yeah. Facts.
Straight up. Skinny Black is the guy. He needs to be taken care of.
Yeah.
He shouldn't be going to the bathroom by himself with somebody.
He on the floor, drunk. Faded.
That
pants
means he
down.
Probably been in there for a minute.
At least 15 minutes.
Like, come
10
on,
minutes.
Bro. And then you see somebody go in there? Oh, no.
Yeah, he in there long enough to fix him up. And,
nah.
Oh, yeah, he tripping. Oh, yeah, 20 was worthless.
The right. Whole crew.
I like it. The whole crew. He was deep. He had goons in there.
Yeah, nah.
What's the point of having all them goons if the homie in there on bad?
Somebody in there knocking me out.
Beating his ass.
And I'm already knocked out.
You're
going to wake me
out.
Up to knock me out again.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Because I pissed on you. You know what I'm saying?
I take it, man. Pause. Yeah. Because I pissed on you. Pause indeed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How many fists, man? One being the movie was made. Good job for making the movie. One black fist or five black fists. This movie's a classic. What does it give? Would you give
five?
Hey, man. On a rewatch, though, I'm gonna keep it 100. This is around this time. Belly was coming out. There was a lot of little movies coming out.
Belly was 99. This was like in.
I'm talking about my era. I was still I was not 99.
Mm-hmm.
But like this came out 5-6 years later.
Uh-huh.
But what I'm saying is like. There's a lot of classes coming out around those that 5-6 year plan.
Mm-hmm.
Around in the 20s, mm-hmm. In my 20s, a lot of good movies coming out. So I think at the time I liked the film, but I want to say I liked it more on the rewatch.
Of course. You grown.
On the rewatch.
You live life now.
Thank you. Now, when this came out in 05. We talking about shit, 03 would make it 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's 18 years ago, bro.
Mm-hmm.
18 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was more so for 3-6 Mafia, the music, Ludacris, and oh, hell yeah, Terrence Howard, cool. It's a cool little story. It means more to me. It affected me more. That scene where he kicked out Lexus, mm-hmm. that touched me, bro. I was like, pause. I was like, oh, shit, that's tough. When he went back there, when she told him that you let me sing on the track, I know you're going to get other better singles when you blow up, but the fact that you let me sing on this track meant the world to me. I felt her when she said that, bro.
There's so many scenes
she don't have
to
nothing to live for, but that's what she was like, I'm thank you. Now my life means something because of what you did. God. I was like, bro, if this the movie don't got heart to me, if you're not moved by that scene, Taraji should have.
You gotta look past that, man.
Yeah. Oh, she a hoe. This, you get all that.
Look, even in the Bible, if you believe in the Bible and all that crazy stuff, God goes to the worst people and anoints them so they can be something for everybody else.
Boom.
If you look at Paul, who used to be Saul, that man was a ruthless king. Mm-hmm. Used to kill people, do all kinds of stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean? He converted himself. He changed. You have to give people enough time to change. And that's what this movie's about. You got to give people enough time to change. And within that change, you're going to see some teetering.
Yeah.
And you're going to see some shit like, oh, okay, that's not cool. Mm-hmm. Oh, but damn, but I want to do this. You can, if you can see heart in somebody, you know what I'm saying? You should give them that grace so they can become who they're supposed to become.
Exactly. When he let Enola kiss that mic, it's something so small, but he knows how she is. That meant the world to her. He was like, I can't do no more music, man, until I have my girl kiss the mic. She got up there.
Yeah.
Juiced. Yeah, bro.
I did the same thing when I got my first camera.
Boom. Ah, yep. I think you told me that. Saying?
Yeah, man. I had to have my hoe at the time.
Nigga, you crazy. You wild. Man.
I'm joking. Yes. Guys. Yeah, I ain't never had no hoes.
Hey, man, no hoes. Not in that sense. No hoes, man. But hey, I give it a 5. Hustle and Flow.
It deserves more.
I always liked the movie. But this movie, from a filmmaker's point of view, to show a character, the evolution of a character, and to see the bad guy be the good guy, and to root for the bad guy, they did a great job with the writing, with the progression of the movie. Just to see all the things he went through, I love the film, bro. I think it's a 5. I'll watch this movie more and more now than I did before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if y'all haven't seen Hustle and Flow, go see it.
Yeah.
Shout out to Terrence Howard for doing a great job as DJ.
Great job.
And everybody else that killed it, man.
Mm-hmm.
Hustle and Flow, it was dope.
Whoever did this story, you are amazing. Mm-hmm. And to get these actors together to actually depict what popped off that page, it's fire. Yeah.
Yep. Craig Brewer, man. You did your shit, man.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. That's it for this episode. I loved it. We loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And we can catch y'all next time, man, on Blackbusters, the best movie review podcast in the world.
In the world, Craig.
I'm your host, Big Jai, along with my guest co-host,
Ken Tone.
Get well soon, Tone. We'll see you soon, bro. Can't wait to get you back here, bro. And that's it, man. Be good. Be good to y'all. We love y'all. Peace. To the max.
Blackbusters.
Shop Amazon for last minute gifts. Great deals for everyone on your list. Gifts for mom and gifts for dad. Even for your sister and your brother, Chad. Ah, shoot, we didn't realize we were supposed to get a gift for our dog walker guy. We almost forgot about our dentist, Dr. Kerr. We didn't expect to get a gift from her. Or our cousin, I forget his name. He got us something nice, better reciprocate. For last minute deals on gifts for people you forgot, get fast and free shipping at Amazon.